On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be alright.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
What do you want?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
What do you want now? It's like you come here all the time asking for a show. What do you want from me? All right, I'll talk for half an hour. All right, whatever. All right. Hey, happy Monday to you. It's the beginning of another week. I turned my clock back last night sometime, and I did it. And now I don't know what day it is, so this is confusing. Going to get dark early, which is fine. I have nothing else to do. So that's okay. I do have light bulbs, so I'm good, I think. How you doing? Good to be with you. You know, I think we've developed a relationship over the years. Not a good one, but we have developed one. That's okay. Whatever. Something's better than nothing sometimes, right? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, there you go. I went to a musical yesterday. Yeah, I love the theater. I subscribe to many theater groups in the Boston area where I live. And I love it. I love it. I like stage plays and things like that. They're civilized somewhat. And they're fun. But at the same time, yesterday I saw a musical, and I have trouble getting into musicals. Sometimes the music is very good, but then usually when it's very good, then it gets monotonous, because in a musical, there's like 20 songs at least. And everybody knows if you're listening to 20 songs, a couple of them are going to be like really good, and the other 18 are going to suck. You know that's the case. And also in musicals, unless you're familiar with the musical and you don't know what the music is, who cares? You know, it's just like, ay, ay, ay. The problem with musicals is that I try to get into the story, you know. I try to get into it, man. I try to get my brain into what's going on stage and trying to get into it. And as soon as they say a couple of, like, clever lines, all of a sudden they break into song. And it's like, what are you doing? I was just getting into the play, into the story. Now you stop to sing? The hell's wrong with you people? Because in real life, people just don't break out in song. They just don't do it. Now, some people do it if they're really like Swifties and all, they love the music and they just start singing, doing a Taylor Swift song. That's fine, whatever. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in real life, we don't continue our life in song form. It doesn't work like that. It's not like you're having an argument with your spouse, you know, like, oh, you know, you're squelching me, or you know, really horrible, you make my life difficult. And this is what I mean:
you make my life a living hell. It isn't fun, it isn't swell. You really know how to get inside my head, and I wish that you weren't living and that you were partially dead. I really don't like you. I really should take the child, because you're not capable of being a parent even all the while.
You know, that's, people don't do that. In the heat of an argument, they don't break into song. So it's very difficult for me to enjoy a musical.
and I don't like them. But so I sat through half of it, and then I left during information and didn't come back. As a matter of fact, when intermission came up, I ran. I ran as fast as I could away from the theater. The play that I saw, the musical, I should say, was Jekyll and Hyde. Everybody knows the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They weren't two people. It was the same guy who was in a laboratory and he drank potion because he was trying to experiment on something. That was never really very clear to me. And he turned into like a monster if he drank the potion. So he was a nice guy and then he was a horrible guy. I don't know what that, I have no idea what the point of that was. And he's getting married to this woman, that's the nice guy part, and then he becomes this horrible guy and kills people in the street. So it, that's the musical. And, you know, somebody said, well, let's take this split personality, bipolar kind of thing of good and evil, and let's turn it into a musical. It just... I didn't like it. I'm not into breaking into song. I just don't do it. I don't really even sing in the shower. Do you sing in the shower? Oh, thank God no one's in there with you, right? The shower is a great place to sing if you're in a happy mood. You know, you have to be in a good mood to sing. It can't be like, oh, I want to kill myself. I want to commit suicide. Oh, happy day. It's a wonderful day outside. It doesn't work like that. Although showers are a very cleansing thing, but so is a colonoscopy, so I guess that doesn't work out either. Showers are like singing in the rain, you know, the Fred Astaire movie. No, oh, I'm sorry, that's right, Generation Gap. All right, never mind. It's a movie, Fred Astaire, he's dancing around in the rain and kicking up the puddles and stuff, and he's having a great time in the rain, and you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, do you? All right, fine, whatever. So in the shower, it's a perfect place to sing because there's reverberation a little bit in there with the tiles or the tub thing or the Mr. Shower, whatever you have there, you know. It echoes a little bit, so it gives you a little reverb, you know, a little reverb, you know. Gives you reverb. So you stand in the shower, you can rap. I mean, if you're going to rap in the shower, I mean, that's just stupid. You got to sing like these fluffy little songs. That's what the shower is about. It's supposed to make you happy and take you away from real life, you know what I'm saying? And some people sing in the car, which there's no point to that whatsoever. There really isn't. Sometimes you're in traffic and you take a look over into the next car out your driver's window there and you see somebody like moving back and forth and, you know, swaying to something. And you don't know whether they're listening to music or whether they have some type of a horrible, horrible nervous condition. You don't know which it is. But we all need to make ourselves happy every once in a while. And for many people, that has to do with singing. You know what's funny about singing? When you sing to yourself and, you know, you're walking down the street and you're singing and you're in the shower and you're singing, invariably you get the words wrong. You never really, you love the song, but you never really got the words right. You know what I'm saying? And then when someone finally hears you sing like that, they go, no, those aren't the words. No, that's not the right word. Oh, no, I've been singing that song forever. I didn't know what the words were. No, it's wrong. Yeah, I don't know. I used to sing the wrong, there's a song that's in my head sometimes, Clarence Clearwater Revival, Generation Gap. No? Okay. And I think there's a bad moon on the right. I think that song. Do you know that song? Listen to this. Listen. Just shut up and listen to me. I see earthquakes and lightning. I see bad times today. Don't go around tonight. I always thought they said there's a bathroom on the right. And that's what I always sang. I guess that there's a bad moon on the right. I thought it was bathroom on the right. And which, because I hear that all the time when I go into a restaurant, you know, and I got to pee really badly. So excuse me, where are the restrooms? Oh, there's a bathroom on the right. Oh, thank you very much. And I thought, yeah, good song, right? And the waiter would go, what do you mean, good song? Yeah, there's a bathroom on the right. Good song, huh? Love that song. Clarence Clearwater Revival, right? I don't know what you're talking about, sir. Okay. And now I understand why, because I had the words wrong. Does that happen to you? No? Not at all? No connection? Just me? Oh, okay. That's embarrassing. All right, fine, whatever. Yeah, singing to ourselves makes us happy, I suppose, you know. When someone sings to themselves, it's always an indication that they're in a good mood. Always, always, always. Even if they're just humming a classical tune, you know, like The Four Seasons by Vivaldi. I mean, even if they do that, you know that they're happy. It's a sign of happiness when you sing something to yourself. But people don't sing depressing songs to themselves. They never, ever do. You never see somebody walking down the street singing, "Oh, the death of me is a happy thing. I wish it upon the devils in hell." The bubbly devils of hell and the excruciating pain of life. No one sings that. Out loud, at least. No one does that. Were you impressed, by the way, with my singing abilities? That's what I sang for karaoke once, and they kicked me out of the restaurant. I don't know. I guess everybody has their opinions, you know. Everybody's got their opinions these days. Wasn't it great before people had opinions? Wasn't that fun, huh? Before there was the internet shit, the Facebook thing. That was so nice when people had opinions, but you didn't hear them much because there was no opportunity to do it. Now, with Facebook and the internet highway, everybody's got an opinion of everything, just like I have on this show. But everybody has one. So now I'm like bombarded by everybody's opinion of something, and now it makes you feel like everybody's opinion matters. But it doesn't. No more than your opinion matters, no more than mine, only to myself and only to yourself. But now if something happens, I mean, online, there's everybody's got an opinion about something. You look up a business and on the Yelp thing, and I don't know where they got that name from. Yelp, what does that mean? What are you saying that for? Yelp, that's like something that you do when you scream or what? Yelp, what is that? So, yeah, let's get a pizza from Papa Gino's. Okay, I'll go to the internet of fun and find out where one is. Oh, look, here's a review. The pizza sucks. Okay, let's not go there. I don't care if you think the pizza sucks. How many people think the pizza sucks? It doesn't, by the way. It's just really too expensive. It doesn't suck. It's just expensive. Oh, I got a survey. Oh, this is so funny. This is so funny. I went into, every time you go into CVS and buy something, tell me if this doesn't happen to you. I'm sure it doesn't. Whenever I go into CVS and I buy a pack of gum or something and I leave, the next day in my emails, I'll get an email from CVS saying, please rate us on your service at your last visit to CVS. Shut up. I just bought a piece of gum. What's the problem with you? No, you bought a pack of gum, Ron, not a piece of gum. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, fine. So I open up the email and it says, please rate us. And I say, well, all right, you know, I'm a part of society. And I guess you're asking that my opinion matters? Oh, my God, sure. I gave it an okay rating because the gum is good. I was chewing it really nicely. It's chewable. Didn't take a lot to cash out. No. So fine, everything's fine. Good, you know. Is our store clean? Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't run my tongue around over your carpet or anything, so I don't know how clean it is. I have no idea. But yeah, fine, clean, wonderful. I mean, I didn't see any garbage on the floor or anything or graffiti in the vitamin aisle. So yeah, I guess it's clean. What the hell do you want from me? Then it said, "Would you recommend CVS to a friend?" As I wouldn't recommend anything to a friend. They're my friends. Why would I recommend something? Something goes wrong, they're not going to be my friend anymore. I'm not going to recommend anything. So no. Then it said, "If you have any concerns, please tell us now." And I wrote in the following: "Your prices are way too high." Your prices for the same products are cheaper at every other store in the world. I don't go to CVS unless you have something I can't get anywhere else. Otherwise, I don't go in there. Even your gum was overpriced, and I regret the fact that I bought gum from you. And that's what I wrote, and then I hit the send button. And I'm waiting to hear back from them. Because sometimes they'll call me and they'll say, we're sorry that you were dissatisfied. Well, I'm sorry too. Have a nice day. What do you want from me? Lower your prices or shut up. I mean, come on. Stop doing the surveys. Your prices are too high. Who are you trying to kid? I don't know. CVS Consumer Value Store. I don't think so. Value? I don't think so. Ron, what about all those coupons that we put out? Yeah, you put out the coupon right after I've bought the product. You buy a bottle of multivitamins, and then you go to the register, and then they print out that Dead Sea Scroll receipt thing, and inevitably on the receipt it's 40% off vitamins. It's come on now. Now I got to go through the hassle of coming back and returning the vitamins and getting a credit for it, and then go and buy a bottle of vitamins again with the 40% thing. Why are you making me go through this? Don't you understand? This is just annoying. Don't you understand you're annoying me? All I wanted was vitamins, not some type of a financial transaction, a backlash here. Come on, cut it out. Buy two, get one free. I don't want the other one free. I just want one. Buy two. I don't want two. Buy three, get two free. Get three, get five off two. Get buy two, the second one off, 50% off the second one. Why don't you give me 50% off the first one? Call it a day. Because we're consumer value. Oh, okay, fine. All these confusing things on their coupons. 40% off. Oh, boy. Then I find an item that's the most expensive, and I go to the register, and I say, no, you can't use this coupon. Why? I got a 40% off coupon. It's 40% off items that are over $30. This isn't over $30. Oh, it's all right. It's $28.99. Sorry. God damn you. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that on the radio publicly. I was mocking somebody that would say that. That's what I was doing. All right, we're going to take a break, commercial break. When we come back, my guest will be joining us today, and that'll be extraordinarily fun.
Did you know that 4 in every 10 American adults suffer from attention deficit disorder? I'm talking to you, so if you could... Yeah, great. 4 in every 10 American adults suffer from attention deficit disorder, a condition... Okay, still talking to you. Can you just for a minute, literally, 60 seconds tops. Okay. Attention deficit disorder is a condition that afflicts men and women... Put the phone down, maybe? Check your messages after I'm done, could you? Because you really should listen to this. Trust me. Attention deficit disorder afflicts men and women of any age and can be... Why do you have a rubber duck? Where did that even come from? Could you please put that away? Is it so hard to give me a minute of your time to... There is nothing on the bottom of your shoe. You have no reason to be looking at that right now. None. Yes, a bird flew by the window. They do that all the time. They're birds. Now let's talk about attention deficit. Jesus Christ, did you really just turn your chair around? You're spinning in your chair. Great, and my time is up. Adult attention deficit disorder. Get some help already.
Hello, Chef Leticia. How are you today?
Hi, Ron. How are you? Nice to speak with you again.
You too. You're one of my favorites, so this is going to be fun. We're talking about...
Thank you.
Yeah. We're talking about holiday meals and those that are diabetes-friendly. Right. And I always say, whether it be politically correct or not, eat like you have diabetes. I know that sounds horrible, but it's kind of true. I mean, eat like you should be eating healthy. And so this is... do you agree with that, or did I say it wrong?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And you know, the recipes that we put together, that we cook, they are healthy for the whole family. They should be eaten by everybody, always, yes.
Always, no matter what it is, even if you have a cold. I don't know what that meant. Anyway, the holidays are coming up, and it presents a great challenge to me, because I am the center of my universe, and I always overeat on the holidays, and I eat the things that I really shouldn't be eating, because I say to myself, here's the big excuse, oh, it's the holidays, it's once a year, go for it. And then I end up paying for that after the holidays. So I always look at this time of year of ways to enjoy myself without paying the price for it.
Right, right. I think that we all have a tendency to, you know, celebrate and cheer tradition.
Yeah.
But I think, Ron, it's all about small changes. It's all about, you know, like what you said, eat like you have type 2 diabetes and try to incorporate healthy habits throughout your whole life. And the holidays should not be an excuse. I mean, of course, there's a little bit of, you know, it's about moderation, and we all tend to, you know, lose a little bit on the holidays. But I think that if we keep in mind, you know, that this is something to be aware all of the time. From my side, I am aware all of the time. I have a background, you know, a personal connection. My whole family is affected by type 2 diabetes, you know. So this topic is really personal to me. My grandfather died from complications of type 2 diabetes because he himself, he didn't want to make any changes, you know. And the alarming fact now in our community, almost 13% of the Latin community in this country is already diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. So we all know how serious this disease can be. And that's what brought me to work with Merck and the American Diabetes Association on this campaign called Desafiando la Diabetes. And really our goal is to empower the Latin community to take control over type 2 diabetes, to work with their doctors to reach and set their A1C goal, and also learn the risks of high and low blood sugar.
Yeah. So talk to me about eating healthy. What are some of the basics so that I can begin to follow this lifestyle? And I do to a great extent. But let's tell our listeners, what kind of changes are you talking about?
Well, there are small things that you can do throughout your, you know, healthy eating lifestyle that, you know, it will help you just become a healthier person. Mm-hmm. For example, forget the takeout. Stop buying takeout food.
Yeah.
Not only it's going to save you millions of dollars in, you know, but it's so much healthier to cook more at home. I am an avid supporter of cooking at home, and I understand that families are very busy and people don't have time, but it really makes a huge difference. Also, incorporate herbs and spices into your cooking. You know, this way you don't need that much salt. Another point, Ron, especially now with the turkey season coming up, and I say, as I used to work as a chef, I used to make a lot of stock, like chicken stock.
Uh-huh.
Now with the turkey stock, it's a great opportunity. Don't throw away those bones, you know, and just turn the turkey carcass into turkey stock, and you can really freeze and benefit from, you know, homemade turkey stock, you know. So those are tips that if you can try to incorporate throughout your whole lifestyle, you know, it'll be great. But the most important thing, I guess, it's really to work with your doctor. You know, Ron, as I became more educated about diabetes, I learned that too many people are not at their A1C goal, which is so important to the overall diabetes management plan. Mm-hmm. Now, are you familiar with A1C?
Yes, yes, as most of my listeners are, because we discuss this on a regular basis.
Right.
And that is a matter of having testing your blood every once in a while. and making sure that it's under control.
Exactly. And about one third of adults living with diabetes are not at their A1C goal, which over time can really lead to serious health problems. So these are all very complex issues that we really want to encourage, especially the Latin community, to work with their doctors and develop a plan that's right for you, because type 2 diabetes is not the kind of disease that it can be individual, that can be, you know, one size fits all. It really has to be individualized, and you know, each person has a different metabolism, body, culture, tradition. So it's,
But it is the kind of thing, you know, as you said about your grandfather, I believe you said, it is a kind of thing that you can control if you're intelligent about it. And you as a chef and as a food expert tell us that you don't have to sacrifice taste for health. You can do both. And in some cases, actually make the flavors and the tastes even greater than they were before you were eating all the junk before. And I agree with you 1,000%. When you cook at home, you are in total control. When you don't, you are at the mercy of whatever they put in that food. And cooking should be fun. It enhances a person's life, creativity. And I never accept the excuse, I don't have time to cook, because you can make many, many wonderful meals within 5 to 10 minutes.
Absolutely. And that's the whole purpose of our campaign, is to show people that even if you have type 2 diabetes, you can still live a healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And yes, as a chef and as a Latina, that's a whole mission for me, you know, to show that you can make recipes, you can cook at home, and they can be more diabetes friendly. You know, there are tons of recipes on our website, desafiandoladiabetes.com, or in English, you can call it americasdiabeteschallenge.com. Mm-hmm. And we also want people to pledge to work with their doctor, to use our site as an education center. Like, before you visit with your doctor, which is really the most important thing that you can do, visit our site and see what are the questions that you can talk with your doctor. What is it that you need to ask him, you know? And you, there's also bilingual resources on the site. So all of this, you know, it's something that we're really working together to show that, you know, you don't have to sacrifice flavor.
Right. Not at all.
You can cook delicious recipes, yes.
Yeah, and learn how to cook. It's fun, and get your family involved in cooking as well. It's a, you know, that's no life to pick up food in stores and bring it home prepared. I mean, unless you just want to eat chemicals all day and mounds of salt. I mean, my God, sometimes I don't think people really use their brains very much, and it's it annoys me because I get annoyed. So how do we get some of these great recipes and also get more information about this?
So you can visit our website, Desafiando la Diabetes, where you can learn also about the risks of high and low blood sugar, because, Ron, that too is another misconception. You know, people know that they have to control their type 2 diabetes by diet, exercising, and taking medicine if appropriate, but sometimes they don't know that not only your sugar can go too high, but it can also go too low.
Right.
And that can cause people to feel shaky or dizzy, and sometimes even certain medicines can be the cause for low blood sugar. So these are all complex issues that we cover on our website.
Yeah, that's a doctor
and just
thing.
Visit with your doctor.
Definitely a doctor thing, to see if medications do influence the up or down. So yeah, all that. That's something that a layperson could not figure out. And if I wanted to follow Chef Leticia Schwartz, which happens to be you,
Please do. You can visit my website is chefleticia.com, and I am on all social medias, Instagram, Facebook. Please follow me, chefleticia.com.
Right. Hey, it's always fun to speak to you, always uplifting. I feel like when I speak to you that I'm back in control of myself, and that's a good thing. So I need a dose of the chef every once in a while.
You made my day.
Cool. And have a great one, and thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Cut out, really? Yes. With a brand new show, but until that time arrives, I wish you peace.